know, I run it, but it's God's business. I'm the manager, you know. But then I asked the guys, you know, all right, if you say it's God's business, just show me the profit share. Just want to see if the owner is really getting his lion's share of the profit. Because if you say I own the business, I mean, I want the lion's share of the profit. Am I right? Yeah. So it's cheap to say God's the owner, you know, but he's got no say. Really, we're so busy, we make impulse decisions in our business, yeah, and we make day-to-day decisions, and we don't really consult God. God, which is I want a manager like that can make decisions on his own. But when it comes to profit share, I would like to have the lion's share of the profit. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know. So, guys, if you want to say, if you want to be spiritual and say it's God's business, just make sure you put the money where the mouth is.
Hey.
I told you guys. Someone needs to say these things. Sorry.
Come on.
But let's go to the first type of business. He says, one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and another 1 talent, and each according to his ability. For me, that's a self-employee. So we start off, when you approach a business, probably, and I'm talking on average, and maybe your business is a different level, maybe your circumstances is different, but when I speak, I'm talking on the law of average. That's fine. So probably when you start off a business, you're going to become a self-employee. And it depends on you, maybe a 1 talent, or 2 talent, or 5 talent a business man. If you're a 2 talent, don't be a 5 talent, you're going to stuff it up. Don't try and be the 5 talent. I always said, Lord, if I read it, I want to be the 5 talent. Yeah, I mean, I want everything. I want maximum. But probably I'm a 2 talent person. And let me show you the amazing thing of being that. There in verse 21, and his master, so that's a self-employee type of business. Then in verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Can you see he's moving into the next phase?
Yeah.
Now he's becoming a business manager. He's not doing the work himself, he's employing people. So he's going to it, he's getting much now. Business is growing, outgrowing his capacity, his time, and his ability. So you need to employ people. So you grow, and people don't start off right. So they think differently, and then they get stuck in a self-employee, because they can't move to becoming a business manager because they approach the business wrong. Now they think wrong and they get stuck. And to get out of that trap takes a massive shift, and most people can't do it. Mm-hmm. So they get stuck in being a self-employee. It doesn't move to the next phase. But then you can become a business manager. But listen to this. And he said, he said, well done. So hear the words. Hear the words. What he says to the guy with the 5 talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enjoy. Enter the joy of your master. Now the 2 talent guy comes. And you had 2 talents, came forward saying, master, I delivered 2 talents here. I have made more. So can you hear? I made more. Yeah, immediately. When you're self-employee, you do the work, it's your ability and it's your time.
Yeah.
You do the work. He says, I have made more. And look what the master said to the guy with the 2 talents. Listen to these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. Exactly the same words that he used for the 5 talent guy. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The 2 talent guy got exactly the same blessing than the 5 talent guy. Guys, if you're a 2 talent, be happy with being a 2 talent. You don't have to be a 5 talent guy, because God has given you 2 talents and not 5, because you can manage 2. Mm. So if you're 2,
very good.
Be happy with the 2.
Sure.
Because there's many guys that's 1 or 2 that try to be 5 and they lose everything.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the capacity, or you don't have the circumstances, or whatever.
That's really good.
It doesn't happen for you.
Sure.
So run in whatever God has called you to run with.
Mm.
All right, so you can be a self-employee, or you can move in becoming a business manager. Then I'm going to go to Luke number 19. And the king called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a delegate after him, saying, "We do not want this man to reign over us." But when he returned, having received the kingdoms, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they have gained by doing business. The first came before him saying, "Lord, your minas had made 10 minas more." Can you see? In the first one he said, "I made more." But now you are moving, because now you're getting 10 minas. You see, and then you're moving into a next stage. And he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities." Mm. Now friends, when you're 10 cities, you cannot be a business manager. You need to become a business owner. Because every city needs its own management, its own manager, its own whatever, to run those 10 cities. And you become the owner of 10 cities. There's a shift. You can't manage 10 cities. It's too much. Mm. But you can own them and employ managers. Replace yourself every time. And now you become a manager, a owner. It's like when I start off a small business here, grows, and then I grow the business, employ people, and then I start opening up shops everywhere. Now I become a owner, like a franchise owner, or a group-owned company owner, or you've got stores everywhere. You don't manage the stores anymore, or the people. You manage the leaders. So you're becoming a leader of leaders. Okay, you see, there's a shift in business that takes place. And here's the big thing, friends. And maybe I want to throw this in. Can you see what he said to the guy? He said, "Faithful servant." Now, I always thought, put money into good soil and you'll get 30, 60, 100 fold on return. And God said to me, it's not money that you get in return, because we're not in a business transaction. You know, you don't pay something and then you get a return on investment. Now, he says, put money into good soil, into a church, in a ministry, into something of the kingdom, and it will produce 30, 60, 100 fold harvest. It's people. It's treasures in heaven. Giving increases my treasures in heaven. But then he says, faithfulness, good steward, increases treasures on earth.
Yeah, very good.
So if I want to increase my business, I want to increase treasures on earth, I need to become a good steward, a faithful steward, and a manager of what God gives me, because then he entrusts more. So if I buy a farm and I put a manager there to run the farm, and this business grows and I buy another farm, who will I put that farm under? Him. Yeah. I'll say, "Hey guys, you are doing amazing, man. Why don't you also look after that farm? Because you've been faithful steward of my business."
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
So I enlarge him, and that's what God does. But friends, so I saw also this picture of the prodigal son. So if you look at that story as the father representing Father God, then it says a father had two sons. So they were Christians. They were in the house. But then one became a prodigal. Am I right? Prodigal means reckless living. And God showed me this picture of the church. And that's where my burden comes from. To speak into finances and business. Because I see the church is not everyone, but many sons in the house. And that's daughters and sons are prodigals when it comes to finances. Because we are living recklessly. We are not managing, we are not stewarding, we are not tithing, we are not giving, we are not managing our finances. We're reckless with our finances. And then famine comes and many ends up with the pigs. And now a guy pitches up and speaks about finances and we all want to default into slaveship, to slavery. To say, "No, I must do this. Why must I budget? Why must I do that so that I can have more?" No, you must be restored as a son. And from the son, you work in the land.
So good.
See, not from the position of slaveship, but from the position of sonship.
Yeah, very good.
You start to work the land again. And you become a good steward of what God has given you. And when you're a good steward, God enlarges you. Because stewardship increases earthly treasures. Giving and generosity increases heavenly treasures.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Very good.
Wow. But anyway, so he says, good and faithful servant, you're a good steward, therefore you'll have 10 cities. You see that thing? And go read in the Bible about harvest, it's people. Lift up your eyes, see the harvest is ripe. In Revelation, put in the sickle into the harvest, bring the harvest. The harvest is people, friends, and as business people, we are called for the king and his kingdom. You see, God is the source. Your business is the tool. You the channel. Kingdom is the goal.
Very good.
Where does the water from this tap come from? Not from the tap. It comes from the dam or the reservoir.
Yeah,
that's
good.
The source. God is the source. If your business is if there's strain on your business is not the source of your income. God is. Run to Him.
Yeah.
Don't try and do your own plans. You're gonna burn. Run to the source.
So good.
And He can use any tool to channel money to you and give money to you, so you can be a channel. Because God is always kingdom focused, friends.
Yeah.
If you are a businessman, it's because God has appointed you for the King and His kingdom, not for yourself.
Yeah. Very good.
I'm gonna leave something for tomorrow, but anyway.
So just one thing.
Yeah, please go for it.
I know what it's like to talk in this context. People are just staring at you. You know, so I want to encourage you to have some kind of response.
Well, I mean, I know sometimes it's so intense. God, why are you speaking now to me? Like, this thing hitting me, boom. And maybe you're not responding, but inside you are like crazy. like inside you're saying, Jesus, I need to, help me. And we all need help, baby. But anyway, please, just jump in. I think we're very casual, we relax. I'm not going to mind if you want to throw something up or just say, please go for it. Go for it, but we're going to get to the 10 stuff now.
This is the easy stuff.
This is the easy stuff. I must phase into it.
You're easing us in.
And then obviously the next stage is the investor, the king that goes out to find new kingdoms. He's the investor. You know, you invest into guys that open up, that becomes business owners and need funding. He wants his money to work for him, you know. Your money made more money. And that's that type of guy. You know, invest into properties, into areas that brings return on investment without him doing the effort, really, on those things. Okay, but let's go get into to is any maybe anything you wanted to ask, or is it fine? Good. Can we get into it? Okay. I want to talk about the self-employee, and then we'll talk about how to approach that business, because it's very important that you approach it right. Because if you don't approach it right, you're not going to think right, and you're going to get into that business thinking wrong, and you're going to get stuck. All right. So I, like many of you, are going to probably feel off this, but please, just again, there's no condemnation. If we talk about this stuff, it's there to draw something out of you for something higher.
So good.
All right, so the self-employees, I use this example of electrician. So this electrician is qualified, he's working for someone, he's doing well, he's also a go-getter. And then at some stage, the electrician feels, you know what, I've got this, man. I'm bringing in customers. I'm doing the work here. I want to work for myself. I'd rather start my own thing. I can do it. I'm working hard anyway. Why not just work for myself? And when I speak to people that go into business, they usually say these things. I asked him, so why do you want to work for yourself? Why do you want to do it? Why do you want to leave a job that's secure and go and start your own thing? They said, no, I want to be my own boss. I want more money and I want more time. That's the language. That's what I hear mostly every time. When I ask people, they say, I want more money, I want more time, and I want to be my own boss. That's what they say. And then I think, oh my word, because you're not going to have money, and you're not going to have time. And being your own boss, the worst boss you can ever work for, that guy is relentless. If the alarm goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning, that guy's on your case.
He will not leave you.
You're going to get in that bucket and drive. You're a self-employee. I mean, so he wants freedom from a boss, wants financial freedom, wants more time. Self-employee needs physical ability and time. Because you need to do the job. You're going to lay the foundation and business. You're going to raise up because you've got the vision. You've got the know-how. You've got the passion. You're the pioneer. You're going to jump in and you're going to do, you need physical. You need to do the job because you're going to do it. A lot of us that started businesses, you started that business. It was your idea, your baby. So you're going to build that thing. You are the skill and gift that your business is built on. If you're a self-employee, it's built on your skill. And a self-employee is a worker that works in his business and not on his business. Guys, you must get this, because if you approach your business wrong, you're going to work in your business. That thing is going to control you. You're going to work in that business and for that business, but you're not working on the business. There's a total different type of thinking when you're in the business or when you're on the business. Because, see this, when you're inside of a marriage, you know, it's crazy. But when you zoom out and you talk to someone and you counsel them on their marriage, you see everything. She's like your wife. But when you're here, your wife says, you don't love me. It's difficult. But when you see someone else from the outside, you see all the answers. Business is the same. When you're in your business, it's chaos. You're working there. But when you look at someone else's business, you've got all the right answers. You know, and to tell them. A self-employee, self-employee does mostly everything himself. That's how it is. You start that business, you do everything yourself. Work ethics for a self-employer. Work hard and you'll be successful and make money. Put in the elbow. What's your name again?
Dion.
Dion. Ek weet nie of jy die t-shirt het nie, Mita. Maar toe ek na jou story hoor, toe kry ek die flashbacks. En toe trek alles weer hier binnen.
English, please.
So, ja. I'm just throwing you a personal. Just a personal. The rest mustn't hear that. It's for you. Work ethics. Yeah, work hard and you'll be successful. The bumper sticker of a self-employee says Mr. DIY. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Someone else is going to stuff it up. Right? Come on, guys. Let's be real. A self-employee, usually person, likes to be in control. I want to know what's going on in my business. I'm the voice there, and I know what's going on. The slogan of a self-employee: don't talk, just do it. I work and my work makes customers happy because they get the best service and quality workmanship, and therefore I make money. Friends, here's the thing. If you're a very good electrician, word of mouth is going to start to go out because it's the bulk of your advertisement. Am I right? It's word of mouth. And because you're the business, you're making the money, everything you do has got a return on investment, so you really put your head into it, you go into it, your customer base grows, got a good experience, but now you're becoming to create a problem for yourself because you're thinking wrong. You're not thinking business manager, you're thinking self-employee. Now what happens, the thing starts to outgrow your capacity and your time and your ability. And now you've got a problem because we say in Afrikaans, pap gaan op die grond val. Because now you're going to start to make empty promises, you're going to start to roll jobs, you're going to start now time is an issue because you're taking admin home because the stuff must happen. Because throughout the day, I must service my customers. I must be there. You know, so now weekends and evenings, I take work home because invoicing needs to happen. There's admin as well. Can you see now? Time is becoming sensitive now.
Yeah.
And you're busy and you don't want to give bad service. So you're on your customers. And now you're starting to have a problem as a self-employee if your business starts to grow. You struggle to hand over. Self-employees struggle to hand over because they're afraid, because they're living on the edge. If something goes wrong, I can't take a dip. I can't take a knock. So now I'm afraid to hand over because I don't know if that guy is going to be who I am or duplicate who I am or grow my business. Or is he going to stuff things up? So it's it's difficult to hand over. And you wear multiple hats. You the admin, the finance, the operator, the driver. Admin is probably a self-employer's weakness. Yeah. Self-employer is an operator, man. I want to be there on the front lines. I mean, there where the bullet flies, eh? That's where I want to be, man. Admin is for sissies, man. For soccer players, not for rugby players. Rugby players are there. Soccer players do admin. I'm Afrikaans, sorry. Yeah, yeah. But anyway. That was not a good one. I don't know where that came from. That's how Afrikaans guys think, right? Because if you see a soccer guy, if someone just taps you, ah, you fall down.
Sorry, Ryan.
The rugby guy takes the knock. Okay, let's move on then. Self-employed does not like much change or challenges because it creates more work. I'm ready, my cup is full, I'm running this business, I do want to grow, but I'm afraid to grow, I'm afraid to think out new plans and to pioneer because I don't have the capacity and I'm not sure how will this happen, how's it going to roll out, because it's probably going to come back to me and I don't have time. It's difficult when you stop there to really start growing your business away from yourself. If you are not there, not much will happen. You cannot afford to be sick or go on long vacations. You think that there are no other like me and no one can do it as well as I can do it. You operate the system. Customers are not there for what your business can do, but for what you can do. Because you are the business. Guys, this is a reality. These things are good. You can feel overwhelmed with overheads, customer expectations, deadlines, budgets, admin, people demands. Those things start to overwhelm you. You struggle to work from a place of rest. God taught me this thing. Heavy, man. Especially when kids start coming in the scene, you know. And you know what I saw also? When kids are about 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and then 12, 13, 14. There's something that in us that, I don't know, in those age groups that our children are, there's this responsibility thing that suddenly I must do something with my kids, or I must help them, or be more involved, or those things, you know. But work from a place of rest. Now, how do you do this, friends? Remember, we said in the beginning, stewardship. Let me just read this one for you. Can I read this for you? Mm. It's amazing. Genesis 2 verse 5 says, when no bush of the field was yet in the land and no small plants of the field had yet sprung up. And I said, Lord, why not? I mean, there's so many seeds in the land. Nothing is growing. Why is it not growing, Lord? Why is my land not growing? But there's so much potential. And then it says, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. You know, rain is a blessing. It brings growth. It's not raining. I said, Lord, why is it not raining on my land? Because it says, and there was no man to work the ground, to manage the ground, to be a good steward of the ground. If there was a man that was there, that when the growth comes, he could manage it and trim the trees and put the fork in the ground. Then I can let the stuff grow, because now I'm not going to create chaos. So I need man to be a good steward. And when there's a man that can steward, I will bring the blessing and it will grow. Can you see? Stewardship enlarges earthly wealth and treasures. Yeah. But we don't steward. But anyway. Okay. So steward your time. Work from a place of rest, not for rest.
Yeah.
You see, in the beginning of the month, I take my diary and I book out, I put in the church, big rocks of the church, and then I put my off weekends, my two holidays, and I book them and I pay for them. And then I work from a place of rest.
Yeah,
if you don't work from a place of rest, you will hardly rest.
Yeah.
Because June holiday comes and you're going to think, yo, this big deal is coming through, you know, this crisis, I can't go away. Guys, sorry, man, we will go in September, October, whatever. You know, and then your family is disappointed and stuff happens and you hardly go on holiday or take weekends off because you're not working from a place of rest.
That's so good.
If you're in business, when you started, right, balance, everything balances on time. You need to balance your time. Book your off weekends, book your holidays, pay for them. My children don't worry if I drive a Merc. They worry if I'm there with them.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. That's what they want, friend. Don't look one day back and see your... You know, the greatest things in my life I missed because I didn't work from a place of rest.
Yeah.
Book your rest. Work from a place of rest. If you're in business, that thing's going to suck you in.
Yeah.
It's going to suck you in. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And you need... That's why God emphasized the seventh day. Because He knew the value of rest.
Yeah.
For us well. Rest a day in a week. I don't care if it's the 7 day or the 3rd or the 6th or whatever, but rest a day. I don't know, maybe that we're not going to go into the region of that, but I mean, just make sure you rest a day and go on holidays and take some weekends off. Okay, you probably don't own a business but a job if you're a self-employee.
Yeah.
You don't have a business, but the business has you. if a self-employee, you'll work hard and you'll probably be a survivor. Friends, sadly, most self-employed guys are survivors. You know why? So I come out of a job, I get into a business, and my salary increases, and now it's a double cap, my children's better schools, and we eat the steak on the weekend. You see? So now I up my living standards because I can, but now I can't go without it anymore. There's nothing to fall back on, because what I fall back on will not support what I have now. You see? And now that business is carrying me, and I'm a survivor, because a self-employee... If I look around in South Africa, self-employees are mostly survivors. They're fighting for the end of the month to make overheads and to keep the head above the waters. You probably you overspend because of lack of budget. Small business owners, I want to say to you, 95%, if I can go off the bat, don't have budgets. They juggle the money. Because I'm in control. I know what's going on in my bank account. I know what's going to come in over there. I know what's there. And you juggle money. It's dangerous, friends. It's dangerous. 80% of businesses is not successful because they don't budget and manage their finances. You need to have a budget and manage your finances. I'm going to show you this. Okay, and many times small business is hand to mouth. And people don't gear for the opportunities when you're a self-employee. You must learn how to gear for the opportunity. Take some overflow money. If there's a month where you have some overflow, put it one side. Gear yourself for the opportunity. When you're a pioneer and you're in business, you don't have to look for opportunities. I'm telling you, you don't have to look for opportunities. You must gear for opportunities.
Yeah, very good.
I'm sorry, I'm going to put this off.
Could have been an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, now it's my neighbor. So I don't know what he wants. I mean, So gear for the opportunity. So I mean, let me give you something. We're in the property business, and people start to know us that we're in that. And about a few months ago, someone I knew, he was renting a property from me, and his friend or brother or someone, I don't even know, did something and he ended up in jail. So the Monday morning called me, said, "Murdoch, got a townhouse. Bought it for 650 6 months ago. If you give me the money today, you can have it for 350.
Yeah.
Nice, 2 bedroom, 2 bathroom, nice place.
Wow.
And so there's an amazing opportunity. Did I stand up and say, "Lord, today I want to buy a 2 bedroom. Give me a 2 bedroom. No, I didn't. So the question wasn't, was I looking for the opportunity? No. The question was I ready for the opportunity?
Wow.
You see, guys, we don't gear for opportunities, and you know what happens? Then the opportunity comes, you can't leave it, and you sacrifice the goose that lays the eggs for the eggs that hasn't hatched yet. So you're killing the cash flow. You're taking the food out of the mouth of the one that lays the eggs. And then if that thing doesn't work, you're in debt or you're in problem, and you take 5-10 years to get out of that, and many don't restore it. Because we don't gear for the opportunity, but we don't want to miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
So put some money away. Gear yourself for opportunities. So when opportunities come, you can engage in those opportunities.
Someone once said, opportunity knocks on the doors of those who prepare.
100%, my friend. That's exactly what it is. So let's prepare for the opportunity so that they come. So you can be the guy. Yes. And not the guy, "Wow, that was a big bargain. Wow."
Yeah.
Someone else bought it. Okay. You struggle to give because there is not a giving account. Friends, we are there for the King and His kingdom. If you are Christians and we stand, we're in business, it's because it's for the King and, the, and His kingdom. If you don't budget to give, you're going to struggle to give. You need to have an account where you can transfer money. You don't have to give it away. You just gear for the opportunity. But that is to give away.
Yeah.
So if we don't, if you don't budget to give, you're going to struggle to give. As a, because you're going to be impulsive giver, which is also good. I mean, there's generous gifts that you do, but there's yeah, budget to give. And when you're a self-employed, you've got a risk to hit the wall, burn out, and give up because you are overworking yourself. Business thoughts overwhelm your thinking. You're taking work home. If your business grows, it becomes more difficult for you to juggle all the different aspects of your business, and your business becomes your boss. If you're a self-employee mindset, appointing someone is difficult, and you need to settle this thing in your mind. If you want to grow your business and employ people, settle it in your mind that that person can do it 70% as well as you can do it. If you can't settle that thing, you're going to struggle to hand over. Because you're going to want someone that's perfect, that can duplicate you. It's probably not going to happen. So if you want to grow into becoming a business manager, you must settle to yourself that that guy's going to do it 70% well as you can do it, and you're going to work with it, and you're going to lead him on the 30%. You might get someone that does 120% better as you, it's fine. But you need to settle it that he's going to do it 70% as well as you can do it. And you just need to know how to lead them in the other 30%.
Yeah, very good.
So the risk of a self-employee, you're living out of the till. Guys, take a salary. That's it. As if you're working for a boss. You are working for a boss. Take a salary, guys. From day one, I took a salary out of the business. We started 18 businesses from scratch. Had CTM franchise as well for 30 years being in the property business. Take a salary, friends, and you can take dividends, you can take a bonus if you want, but learn to live off a salary from your business. Don't live out of the till. You're stuffing up your business cash flow and the potential growth. And you don't know, it's like my wife. She says, hey man, I need an increase. I said, okay, let's make a deal. I'm going to increase you, but first bring me all your slips that you buy from Spar. And then I count up all the chips, the cool drink, and the chocolates for the boys. And I see, can you see how many thousands you spend? I said, no way, you're lying. Let me show you. They're black on white. There's the slip. So you don't realize how much it is until you check it. You don't see the damage of living out of a till until you check how much you actually take out of the till, because you think, hey, chocolates, just $10,
which I guess
whatever.
Is connected to budgeting. Eh?
Yeah, and it's connected to budgeting. Yeah. So, that, be careful of living out of the till. And then many times the risk of self-employed, make new debt because increased expenses. We start making new debt, getting new credit cards, selling assets to save a dying cow. You know, and then at the end, you lose anything anyway. If the cow is dying, it's dying, guys. Yeah. I speak to guys and I sell the properties, they sell assets because I think, hey man, I'm going to save this thing. And yes, I'm not saying you cannot save it, but I'm just saying be very, very wise. If you do that, get counsels in, get mentors in, get people in, do the mass, do recheck everything, zoom out. Before you get into those things. And many times self-employed starts falling behind off payments, start to rolling jobs. Because I mean, I bought this and I'm spending that and I'm doing this and now I'm catching up and I've got a slow month, but the previous month I've got a lot of 30 days after account that you need to pay. So you had a great month and then a slow month. And now you're going to pay the great month at the end of the slow month. And now you've used the great month's money because you thought, hey, it's like Christmas, there's a lot of money. You know, now you start to roll jobs and this one pays for that one. Yes, please go for it. Yeah, you're welcome.
No?
Yeah. Sorry, man, I'm offloading a lot of things here.
Any questions around that?
Yeah, come
I think I asked you earlier, when you know if it's enough, what I'm not meaning by enough is
that's a good question. People always ask it.
Obviously at different stages you have different capacities. Yeah. At one stage when it was just one, I felt like at full capacity until I. But then sometimes it's also just easier opening more and more and more and more instead of perfecting the one or two that you have.
Okay, so you're talking about when is it not enough money but enough business?
Yeah.
Or you're speaking time wise or money wise? When is it enough money, enough money? Or when is enough of how much time?
I don't think it's money because I don't think, especially when you open a new one, all the money, well, when you're opening it, you don't really see anything for the first 3 to 5 years. So it's like, it's almost like it's never in the bank account, but it's always in more and more assets, which is a good thing. But then what I mean is like, when do you know, should you just jump to the next thing and keep growing it? Or should you just focus on the 2 or 3 you have and perfect it?
My friend, you know what? I don't have an answer for you, but I'll give you my answer. And my answer, I mean, there can be 100 different answers and opinions, and everyone must do whatever he has faithful and what he believes God is revealing to him. Mm. But for me, if you ask that question to me, I would say I've got a personal budget what concerning time and income. So I would say, I mean, let's say if you feel 10,000 rand a month is enough for you, then that's your budget. Everything over and above goes back into the business or into the kingdom because you said 10,000 is enough. Mm. So same with time. You budget your time. As soon as you see you're going out of your budget, you must change the way you do business. All right. Because you're going out of your budget. So what I say personally, I've got an income that I say, if I receive a salary, that's the salary I receive, I'm happy. I live off that. I don't need more. But business-wise, that thing can grow to eternity. I can make billions because it's for the kingdom.
Yeah.
You see? So for me, I've got a limit. What's enough? I don't know. What's the budget? What would you be happy with? What would be a generous income for you to live off? But my company can run. If God grows, it grows. I'm happy for it to grow because it's benefiting the kingdom.
Basically, it feeds itself.
It feeds itself. And it's got to
feed you more.
No, it doesn't feed me anymore. Now it feeds itself, grows itself, pays itself, and the overflow goes to the kingdom. That's kingdom focus. There's this guy, a Journey of Generosity. He's an engineer in America. They started 3 guys out of the house, and he decided to go on a journey of generosity. And he said, okay, God, I want to receive a salary of $120,000 a month. That's my salary. And now they've got a business all over America. He gives away $1 million a month, and he takes a salary of $120,000 and he gives away $1 million a month. Most guys would pocket that million, buy a plane or a house at the sea or whatever, which is good, which is great. You can bless yourself. I'm not saying it's wrong. The same, that guy decided to go on a journey of generosity because for him it's about the king and the kingdom and treasures in heaven. Because I don't want to pitch up only with a golf swing.
That's great.
For some guys, it's amazing. Which is also not bad. I'm just saying, I don't want to pitch up only with a golf swing. I want some kind of investment in my long term pension fund.
Sorry. Very good.
Yeah, so definitely budget your time, budget your personal income, and you'll be fine. Yeah, I don't know if that answers you. So if you get to a place where you feel my because the Psalm says, it talks about the spacious place. If you feel you're moving out of your spacious place, my friend, you're in another guy's territory. You don't want to be there. You want to enlarge your spacious place, or you want to grow. I mean, don't move out of sight of your spacious place, friend. It's going to eat you. It's going to bite you. It's going to drain you. It's going to have just more negative things than positive things if you're out of your spacious place. Yeah. Rather be a 1 talent, 2 talent, or whatever. You know, than trying to be a 5 talent. If you don't, you'll know. You'll know inside. You're gonna feel I'm not in my spacious place, and then you know I need to structure. I need to go back to the drawing boards. I need to do those things. Good question.
What do you think about
go for it.
What do you think about building a business with family members?
Okay,
certainly wise.
Yeah. So there's a partnership is probably the worst ship you can float on.
Yeah.
You can go on. Am I right? So there's 2 partnerships that work for me, and I mean I'd like to learn. I'm also want to learn. Please come and talk to me if you've got something else, or if you've got something that works, please come talk to me. But according to me, there's 2 partnerships that work well, very well. One is where I've got the idea, I've got the passion, I want to start something, but I don't have the money. So I get in a partner, he's the funder, he's the investor. I'm the boss. I'm making the decisions, I'm running the business, I'm receiving a salary, and we're splitting the dividends on whatever we agree. That partnership can work because I'm the boss. Another partnership, if you're in a family business, everyone has his own department. One is in sales, one is in manufacturing. He's the boss there, he's the boss there. They would cross-pollinate not to create silos, because many times when you start moving into business owner, you've got departments in your business, it creates silos. And then when you hit that sweet spot, you start to go down because of silos. So you need to not have silos in business. You need to know how to cross-pollinate. All right, so when you're in partnership, and you're in management and he's in sales, and maybe you're servicing some machines aside, then you cross-pollinate. You say, listen, next month, just be aware of the sales because let's stock up or whatever. Or this guy's got a big deal. Please, next month, you need to make more product or whatever. But he's the boss there, he's the boss there. But when both are the boss, and one says it's blue and the other one says it's red, you've got a problem. Then you've got a problem. Anything with two heads is a dragon.
So, Andrew, I think to answer your question, with you and Pam being in the same business, what you need to realize is Pam is the boss. I do.
Like, Pam loves that. Yeah. Come on, they're smiling ear to ear. He's thinking, what nonsense are you talking about? I'm gonna land with this.
Just to go back on that point there of the hand and the tool, living out of the tool.
Yes.
Let's just expand a bit on that. I mean, obviously, because that has to do with budgeting and knowing what's coming, what's going, and the danger of that in business of just take as it comes just. So you want to elaborate
a
bit on that?
It's a massive thing in self-employees. Massive thing. Guys living out there, have a budget that allocates money to purchases, to overheads, or you've got fixed expenses. I know that. Allocate your money, and then when you get to the end of the month and you've paid your overheads, have enough money to be able to pay it again. You must gear yourself for that. If you want to set yourself free as a self-employee, take stress out of your life, a lot of stress, then get to the end of the month, let's say your overheads, your salaries and your bills and telephone, whatever, your rent, whatever, is 40,000 Rand. You pay 40,000 Rand. After you've paid 40,000 Rand, you've got another 40,000 Rand in your account. So that you're already set up for the end of this month. Now you can fight from the mountain and not from the valley.
Wow. Yeah.
You see, now you can focus on growing your business and not catching up. Because if you're here, you might in the valley, don't take big decisions. You make wrong decisions. If you're in the valley, you're fighting catch up because the end of the month is coming. We need to make money and do this and do that. And you do risky things, you take wrong decisions, you're not good for your business. Gear yourself to have enough money to pay your overheads twice. So that month you can build on the end of next month overheads. And there's not that pressure on you. And have a 3 month overhead account where you can save 3 months. Maybe like an Access account. I've got a home loan. Every month I paid my home loan off. And at the end of the month I take the money out and I pay my overheads. And then all the money goes back to my home loan. So I save all the interest. And then when I sold my businesses, what I do, all my excess money, I put into my home loan. I pay it off, and then I can take the money again, buy another property, and don't have to register a bond. And so I pay it off, buy another one. Pay it off, buy another one. You see, so gear yourself to those things so you don't have to live out of the till. You see, the way not to live out of the till is to gear yourself not to live out of the till. But now we are not budgeting, we are not saving money, we're not putting money away. And then we live on the edge, and if something happens, I take money from the till. And it puts strain on your business. I don't know, make this sense, guys. Are we?
It's part of being disciplined.
Yes.
And understanding that you need to work between the parameters of the river banks that have been set up and previously agreed by yourself as the business owner.
And if you're not there, just get a plan. Just get a plan. God honors a plan. And put your heart behind that plan and say, Lord Jesus, this is not in place. This is chaos now. But here's the plan. Help me to work towards that. and start to gradually grow into that plan so that I can start to, because I mean, it's not easy just to 1 month, 2 months and you've got everything in place. No, it takes time because I mean, you've got, you grow your business, you've got overage, you've got many things, you're almost on the edge, so there's not always that much overflow. So then use the overflow means you've paid everything and there's money left the end of the month. And then you start to gear yourself for that money. Don't go and spend it on stuff that's not needed. Start to, rather to set yourself up for success. Because I would rather build slow, but build for the next generation.
Yeah.
I'd rather build. We've developed, when our boys were 15 and I journeyed with them, I think last night you heard. And when they were 15, we started talking about finances, and I took them to a financial course. But the info was very relevant for me, but not for them, because it wasn't their space. So we created a board game on personal finances, because I wanted to teach them an exciting way. And then we developed another game, Be Wise About Business. Man, that game is doing well. We play it with businessmen. I mean, I played that game with guys that do multiple 100,000 turnovers, a year. I played it with Nashua, old mutual companies. So it's how to approach a business, start a business, and run a business successfully. And I look back at 30 years of experience and what's the big rocks that you will definitely be confronted with in business, and I build it in. And there's no luck in that business, no luck. It's all choices with consequences, and it's like all the aspects of a real business. There's stock control, there's budget, there's cash flows, there's 100 different ways you can expand your business. And so we just developed the home edition as well. So I just received it a week ago. We're going to trial run it and then we'll probably throw it out. So it's a nice tool because I yet need to meet the guy that said to me, my father taught me about finances.
Yeah.
So this is an amazing game that you can play with your children and teach them finances and business. So only 1,200 guys. That's it, you can. Small investment for a great. No, it's fine. Okay.
But it's interesting if you say, you know, just thinking of the power of mentorship.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about the games that you're playing and the games that you do and you sit in that chair, so all those guys are paying for your time.
I do it for free.
For free, but anyway.
They would
pay for it, let's say, at the company.
So
what I mean is that it was costing someone.
Yeah.
It's costing you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So at the end of the day, we want to get someone in to help us.
Yes.
Or look at your sons.
Yes, yes.
So you had to find a man. It's interesting, think about us in this room. So if you're in business, had a dad who taught him business.
Yeah.
So most people just hack along.
Yes.
You know, and take money out the till, not thinking, they just every day trying to go overcome whatever they're overcoming. And you think about the power of mentorship, or actually under listening and growing. I mean, you guys, most of you know the story that I have, but when I was a part-time elder, we had a company, myself and two other guys, talk about partnerships, but thank God it worked out.
Yeah.
But there was actually a reason why it happened like that.
Okay.
Because of the temperament of the one guy.
Wow.
But anyway.
Wow.
But the guy who led the church that I was a part of, his name was Mark Ward, if you ever remember, you would know. But anyway, he studied business and he was accounting by trade, and he actually was a full-time elder at Genridge, and he did all the courses. So when I was under him, he became like a silent partner in our company, where the other two guys would be sitting and asking, they're like, hey, what does Mark think? Go ask Mark. And then I'd go back and have meetings and he'd say, go do this. And so he basically helped us build that company, because he was like a silent partner.
Well done,
yeah, well, this just happened. Yeah. It wasn't really we trying to do it, but I just realized every time I went back to him, and he gave information or he gave us this input, without thinking, what I know now, okay, that's what was happening. He was actually mentoring us, and quite enjoying the process, I think, of helping. But going back, and then we'd go back, especially struggles or trouble times. So a star forth. Other business guys that owed us money. You think about people that owe you money and people don't collect on it, right? And how to actually do that was an incredible help.
Yeah.
So I just think mentorship is such a powerful point. Or at least if you're not being mentored, you are actively trying to grow in your ability to grow your business.
Mm.
You're not just every day at the coalface.
You're right.
You know, just try. You're actually pulling. I love that thing of working on, not in.
Yes, yes, 100%.
It's so important.
Yes, train yourself as well. Go on a course. Find out what's the latest trends and what's
find out from people that have done
yes.
who are successful. Yes. Okay, how do you do it?
And isn't that amazing of being part of a church like this, even when there's so many other people that you can, in being part of a family, you know, where we can connect, where we can open hearts, where we can talk about things. And you know, many times I think with my mouth. So just sitting with someone and just verbalizing, throwing a lot of stuff out, which half is nonsense, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, and I'm going back, and I'm rethinking, and it helps me to just align again, you know, because now I'm voicing the thing, so I'm thinking about things. You know, and it's sometimes good to have that, call it a whiteboard moment. You just write all the nonsense down, and then you start to sift it, and you start to zoom out and see your business from the top. But mentorship is amazing. I mean, I shared it with my boys. They finished, the twins finished grade 12, and February next month, they took over their first business in Potchefstroom, and they run it well, and they grew it about 45%, and then they've got two today. And I mean, those businesses fund their studies, everything. I don't pay for studies, for the flats, for salaries, nothing. They get it out of the business. You know, that day, that
theirs. My son's playing pool.
Yeah.
You should be sitting here.
But anyway, they 2 years they did business. I was there for the first 2 months, and we just focused on customer service, and customer experience. That was the two things that we hammered. And after 2 months, they said, "Okay, now you're in the way. You can leave." And they've been running it now for 4 years.
Very good.
So yeah.
Are you coming to a place where you're going to discuss generosity?
Sunday.
No. In this business context.
Today, yeah.
Is there anything you really spoke about?
To talk about. I think Sunday is our series.
Tomorrow,
Tomorrow, yeah. So there we're going to talk a lot on generosity. So I don't want to. I don't want to overlap maybe too much on tomorrow. So
I think
fine.
The key is what you're saying earlier. That
yes.
I mean, we sitting here, a whole lot of us in this room talking about something. We live here with God. God is on his throne.
Yes.
Like it's constantly, this is, I said something the other day, it's like the Matrix. You know, the Lord is, the reality is God is on his throne, there's angels, there's 24 elders, peals of thunder, lightning.
Yeah.
Every person invited you, we invited you, said, hey, this cup, but God's actually put it in our hearts. He's speaking, he wants us to hear this because he's got a plan and a purpose for our lives and our businesses.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not about Grace Life, it's about 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now.
The next generation.
And then 200 years from now when you're in heaven and what you have there, because you listen to Murdoch and you applied what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the Lord is trying to set us up. And the more you think about that, the easier it becomes to go, actually, have an account aside, you sow into that account so then you can be generous. Because ultimately everything, God has created us and given us the ability to create wealth.
So I'm going to show you something tomorrow on that's going to blow your mind. And
there
I learned it. I learned it from my son when he was 15 years old.
Yes. Okay.
I'm just thinking that if you are self-employed,
yes,
you hold on to business.
Yes.
Whereas sometimes I think it's actually good to, if you've got overflowing business,
yes,
to give it up.
Yes,
to give it
for
up.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%.
You build relationships with other people when you're doing similar stuff.
I agree.
So,
100%, you're 100% right. I think there needs to be, here's this thing. God showed me this from the scripture. I think it's John 4, verse 24. And true worshippers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So there's spirit and truth, not just spirit. There's also some truths.
Yeah.
I want to explain this to you. So when you stand on a bridge, there's a truth. It's called gravitation. But there's also a Holy Spirit says, "Don't jump, my son. I love you. I've got a plan for your life." So there's this in business. There's spirit and truth. Spirit, yes. There's the King and His kingdom. But there's a truth as well. There's the law of gravity that says save money as well. Don't give everything away. I'll give your business. I mean, just hear my heart when I say that.
Yeah.
Make sure you put money back to grow, to keep your business healthy, to gear for opportunity, to gear for overage, to save some money. There's some truth as well, not just spirit. God gives you laws. Read the Bible. If you do this, then you can read. Proverbs everywhere. And God says, if that, then that. You know, so if you do this, then that. You know, but we're not law under law, but there's truth.
There's principles.
Yeah. There's some principles.
And also, that what you just said there, you know, and then when there's overflow, then you want to. So, what are you saying when there's not overflow? You're not saying this, but I'm just. When there's not overflow, then you've got to hold on. But really, the point is to be, no matter where you are, is to have the same mindset that actually I'm here, I'm doing this for Jesus. Yeah. And he's given me the ability to create wealth, so I'm going to honor him back with what I have, whether I have overflow or not. Because generally, it's that which brings the overflow down the line.
100%.
If you're faithful in what you have, but you're also generous when you don't have the overflow. Mm. Otherwise, you say to God, "Well, one day when I've got overflow, then I'll be generous."
Yeah.
But by then, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But then I think also when you do that overflow, make sure that you're aligned with people that are all within the kingdom as well.
You know that you're not throwing the pigs.
I think someone once said, you know, they didn't say word overflow, but when you have increase, don't increase your standard of living, increase your standard of giving.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's about. Yeah. Because you've got a budget for your personal income. And if your business outgrows your personal income, you don't have to just lift the standards. You can start to go back into the kingdom, because I mean, it's who's that that guy that oh no, I forgot his name. He talks about that rope. You saw that rope with a piece of red in the beginning. No. It's got a massive long rope, and then he preaches about and then he just takes some red tape and put it on the rope and says, "This is your life on earth. The rest is in heaven."
Yeah.
That rope doesn't end.
Yeah, very good.
But we are so focused on just this. We don't worry about that. We are so, am I happy? Everything, you know, am I making money? Am I enjoying my life? But it's so short. The rest is actually what it's about. Actually not about the red piece. Yeah. It's actually about the rest. It's amazing. I mean, maybe we're going off, but maybe that's where God wants to go for now. Just I want to also be sensitive with your time, but I want to read this scripture for you as well. Matthew 6, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures," see with the S, "treasures, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." That's treasures on earth, am I right? Physical stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it says, "But lay up for yourself treasures," with the S, "in heaven." That's heavenly treasures, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
"Where neither moth or rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure," singular, "where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Mm. Where's your treasure? In the Father or in this world? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And where your heart is, there your treasures will follow. Because our treasures in heaven is the Father and people.
Yeah.
When I put money in the ground, when I'm generous, when I give money, it's for people to get in heaven. Yeah. That's my goal.
Yeah.
It's not for return on investment. Money, return on investment, it's to get people. I put money. People came to my business, and you know, and then there's this golf thing and this thing. And I said, "Listen, guys, I only put money to, if you come to me for something for the kingdom, that's where I put my money, because I want people in heaven." Yeah. And if I put this money in your ministry or whatever, are people going to get saved? This is going to impact the lives of people. Come on, let's go for it. That's just me, myself, my personal conviction. That's what I do. Put money into a place where God's people can where saints can be equipped and where people can be saved.
Very good.
Otherwise, I'm reluctant to. I want my budget to work maximum for me. When you've got an advertising budget, you want to use it maximum. You're not going to advertise it stuff where your customers never go to. I want my kingdom finances to work maximum for me and for the kingdom as well.
That's very good.
Right, cool. Okay, cool.
Now, I don't want to eat into your time yet. It's about 5 to 12.
Let's go to questions. It's fine. I think we gave a lot of things.
Who's got some more time? If you have to leave, then of course, just jump over the balcony. But how's another 15, 20 minutes?
Go
ahead. Right? Or another half an hour even. Yeah, I've got no rush to get in, so my daughter's crying.
Yeah.
Right? one thing I want to encourage you to do is try, and I know it's difficult to get this concept, but when that rich young ruler approached Jesus and he asked him a question, he's asking Jesus a question with his point of view in his life, asking this guy. This guy standing in front of him, we know now is the Son of God, Jesus himself, who was from before the beginning of time, standing in front of this guy. But this guy just saw a human being standing in front of him.
Sure.
And he says, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus says, do this. He's like, no, okay. Well, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor and follow me. Of course, the Bible says he turned around and walked away sad. Had he known that this was the Son of God?
Yeah.
Like, let's say his eyes are open and in front of him, he saw in the spirit, Jesus standing, eyes blazing, fire. He would have gone immediately, sold everything he had, given it to the poor and followed Jesus. He would have.
Yeah.
After he, you know, afterwards he would have realized when he died one day, this was the Son of God.
Yeah.
So as we sit in this lounge and you're looking at Murdoch, man, he's not Jesus, but he's coming from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah. Sure.
Successful businessman, etc., etc., but he's an elder at a friend of ours, church, all that. But don't look at Murdoch as another guy giving you some business advice. Mm-hmm. You've got to see the spirit behind, because one day you will know when you get to heaven what he was trying to communicate to them.
Yeah.
That all the stuff about business is very important, but he's trying to set us up to be successful so that we can be what God's called us to be for the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's not just to have a good business now, one day. Yeah. Everything's coming from a spiritual perspective, but with very practical things. Jesus says, go sell your stuff, give it to the poor. Very practical. But there was a massive spiritual component attached to it. And it had to do with his heart and his life and his destiny and his future, including his family and his friends. But he would have gone back and said, don't go talk to that. He's a bonehead. So you've got to see this from what it is. It's actually all the stuff he's saying is very pertinent to your business, specifically digging out of the till. But there's a massive spiritual... Actually, it's all really to do with the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God and where God... wants to take you 10 years from now, 20 years from now.
Yes, come on, man.
And that's the key, right?
Yeah, and Proverbs says,
and
you give to your generation. Mm-hmm. You know, to
Murdoch leaves tomorrow, goes back to Clarksdorp, and what happens now? Yeah, that was a great time. Back in the book, coalface again. Yeah, like, actually, Lord, what do I do here?
Yo,
how do I apply this stuff to my life for my destiny?
I think one of the biggest rewards that we could possibly get while we're on earth is to use the mistakes that we've made to impart to other people wisdom on how not to make those same mistakes. And then the potential of that being as something negative turns into something which is positive, because somebody else is gaining from your hard yards. And the reward and seeing somebody else succeed, for me, in a way, is amazing. I don't think money can actually buy that. When you see somebody that you've been mentoring and the business is improving, and you stand back and you go, man, that was a worthwhile investment. And often it's from our own mistakes. So we always look at our own mistakes as something which is going to hold us back. But it's actually, as long as we're moving forward in those mistakes, and I talk to myself, who making many mistakes, sometimes wanting to... in the back of my own head because I've been so stupid, but it's how it's going to benefit other people as you know, able to discern who God is trying to put in front of you. So Murdoch is here for a period of time. I don't believe that it was a chance meeting that, you know, got him down here. It could seem like that, but God intended him to impart wisdom to us in this very important area. I'd say the majority of the hours that we spend in our entire lives, I'm talking career-wise, are spent thinking about how to move forward in business and finance. And if we can get a handle on that through guys like Murdoch, who I'm sure made mistakes, then it's going to be ultimately something which becomes eternal for us too. Oh, guys, I don't think, you know, I know this is can be for me, it's for some, might be very overwhelming. But I think the conviction is, Lord, the word that I would say we need to walk away is stewardship. Not failure, but stewardship. And say, Lord, how can I grow into stewardship? And remember, it's growing into. It's not something that happens. All is this. You need to grow into stewardship, and growing into stewardship, get your vision, your mission, and you write the things down. that you want to start to implement budget for things, right, and start to manage them. You know, it's like that snowball effect. Take one, get it the thing right. Take the next one, and get those things in place. Start building towards those things and grow your business into a place where you can have a business that can be easily stewarded, easily duplicated, and that you can start to build away from yourself. And it doesn't put all the stress on you, yeah, you know, yeah, so that you don't have the cash flow problems and those things. You know, build your business towards that. And I'm telling you today, I thought, you know, God's word is true and God is alive, and I need to have faith. I need to believe those things, and I need to believe that if I'm a good steward, God will increase. I must believe that. I can't believe something else. So that's what I must tell you. I want to tell you, in God's word, stewardship increases. So grow into that. If there's one thing that you can walk away, is walk away with stewardship. Stewarding your business and looking after your business. And that's amazing.
Brilliant.
Great. Do you know that from the cross, tithing is not mentioned in the Bible? From the cross, that Jesus died on the cross, tithing is not mentioned again. But it's all over there, but we don't see it. You guys believe in tithing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure. Like, please, is there anything, you just say Murdoch. But yes, Abraham. He goes and he says,
Murdoch.
So it's Abraham. Yeah, it's Abraham. So he comes back and two kings comes and stands before him. King of Salem and the king of Melchizedek. And in those days, kings would take 10% to them. If you go look where Samuel speaks to the nation about king, you can read there. But this is the things that you're going to be confronted with if you want a king. And one is those, it takes 10%. So it wasn't normal that the king would take 10%. So the king of Salem was there because he wants 10%. And king of Melchizedek came there. Abraham stood before them and he gave to Melchizedek. Now, when we read in our context today in Hebrews 7, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham appointed a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is king of peace. He is without father, mother, genealogy, neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembles the Son of God and continues priest forever." So friends, today, if you are born with Christ and you're in the lineage of Abraham, your father, what did he do? He gave to Melchizedek. You are standing before the same priest that he stood before. 450 years before the law, or that even was written down on tithing or whatever. He didn't do it because of a law or Old Testament law or something. He did it because he loved the kingdom. And why am I throwing this in? Because if you're in business, the spirit of mammon wants what any spirit wants. He wants to control you and he wants to be loved. Yeah. And to break the spirit of mammon is by tithing, because you're declaring your dependency on God. And that's the thing. When you tithe, it's renouncing my dependency on finances and declaring my dependency on God.
So good.
And it breaks the spirit of mammon over your life. And that's generosity. Tithing is part of being generous into the kingdom. It's something that I just give to declare my dependency on God.
So
and I mean, we stand before the same God. What are you going to do? Only give to this world, to yourself, or are you also going to give to the kingdom? You've got a choice. You stand before the same person.
Very good.
And anyway. So
so someone asked me a while ago.
Yes.
After one of our meetings, he's got a business. Actually, no one in this room actually, but he asked, "I've got a business, how do I do that?" Actually, got a business partner. And it was a brother, and then he said, "Do I tithe the business tithe?"
Yes.
So now you want to maybe explain that? I mean, I had my own thoughts then. What are your? So unless someone wants to ask that question, maybe someone's got it. Like, I've got a company. This is my company. Does the company tithe? So
very good.
So
I mean, guys, really on that topic, you need the conviction of God. Again, I'm giving my conviction, my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right, because when you get into that, you need to sit with God. You need to ask God what you need to do, and you do. If God says do this, you do that. I'm not setting any standard here on what to do or what not to do. But in everything that I receive personal income, I tithe on. My business, let's say, do you tithe on turnover or what? Let's say you've got a supermarket and you've got only 8% profit. Or if you tithe, you're going to go bankrupt because now you're getting 10%. But if God says tithe on your business, you tithe on your profit if you want to tithe. You tithe on your profit. And friends, you know, personally, I tithe. But when it comes to my business, I want to do more than that. Mm. Because it's about the King and His kingdom.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not about, am I tithing or not tithing? Now I'm tithing, thank you, Jesus. Now, no. I want to go over and above tithing.
Yeah.
10% is nothing. Mm. You know, when for some business, but if you really grow into your business, I mean, on your profit. I mean, and you're already getting your salary, you're already living. I mean, I want to... For me, it's not a question, am I tithing out of my business? It's how much can I give away? Can I give 80% away? Jesus, if I can, or I'm friends. We're living so small, and then it's eternity. But we are so focused on this part.
Yeah.
I'm not giving away 80% because I want to live now. No, man, this is not life. You're going to live one day, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If you want to know what's life, wait until you're in heaven. Then you're going to see what our amazing life is.
Yeah.
I think the key is what you're saying, it's to do with that stewardship. So if you're getting your personal income and you're tithing on your personal income 100%, but with your business, if you understand and have the mindset that you are just a steward for God, then whatever that business makes is all His. And you just want to be sure that you're hearing His voice on what to do with His money ultimately.
Yeah.
So whether it's giving X amount to this church or that church, or maybe you put it on your heart to help another business or one of the guys in the church, whatever, but if you've walked that out with Him and you're listening to His voice over what to do, He's going to guide you and lead you.
Yeah.
And it's His at the end of the day. The 100% of what the business makes is His.
Yeah, for sure. So we must just make sure the owner gets a fair share of the profit.
Yeah, 100%.
No, very good.
And okay, yeah, that's for where it needs to go.
Yeah.
He says, listen, like Joseph, you know, 7 years we're going to have good, 7 years we're going to have bad. So in 7 years you've got to plan for those 7 years.
You see?
So when we hear Him, you know, maybe we're going to go through a stage where the business is going to make a lot of money, but are we listening to God and He's saying, hey, just store away, because there's going to be a COVID's coming. Yeah, for a year, 2 years, people are going to shut down. And have you put enough in the store so that you can survive that out or not? So when you're a steward, it shifts your mindset from all of that stuff.
100%. Because Malachi says, bring the full tithe. Doesn't say give the full tithe.
Yeah.
Bring. You can't give what's not yours.
Yeah. Exactly.
I borrow something from Him. I don't give it back. I bring it back.
Right.
It already belongs to God.
Yeah.
It's, I can't give it to Him. I just bring it to Him.
Yeah,
because it's His already. So if you want to start to grow your business from a self-employee to a business manager, business owner, you need to start raising sons in the house, because they know your culture, they know how you think, and they understand your business. They know the procedures and all everything, and But guys become 50 and then they want to raise sons. It's too late.
Mm.
Because now there's a shift from success to relevancy.
Mm.
And now they've got grandchildren, and time is sensitive. You know, and now they want to raise sons. It takes years. It takes at least 10 years. It depends on the person. But to raise sons in the house, you must start it early in your business. Mm. Start bringing in a guy, groom him, raise. Yes, God did have 12 and one left him. Yes, it might happen that a guy leaves, but you need to raise sons in the house to take over, to take responsibility, or to grow your business. To get someone from the outside is expensive. They come with their culture, with their things. It's also not bad, but it's better to raise a son in the house. David understood that. He had 37 mighty warriors. He raised up around him and journeyed with him. They fought together in the battlefields. Moses raised Joshua, I think, for 30 years. I'm not sure how long, but I think it was 30 years he walked with him. He raised him up. And raise sons and build a system into your business so that the system can guide the people.
Yeah.
If you want to multiply, you don't have a good system, you're not going to multiply or grow your business.
Yeah.
Because the system needs to manage that business. You know, people need to, you need to have, it's like a body with bones. You don't see it, but it's there. It carries the body and keeps it straight. You need to have a system if you want to start multiplying your business. You need a system in your business.
Well, there's a nervous system, the lymphatic system, there's the solar system. God works in systems.
100%, you see. 100%. Same with business. If you want to start duplicate your business, you need to have those things. Yeah, so, I mean, is there any other questions, maybe? Anything? Yeah, let's... Yeah.
I think you touched on it earlier, just with regards to systems. So, we're supposed to develop the systems and manage the systems. The systems manage the business. But sometimes we develop the systems, and the systems, we end up underneath and inside the very system that we're supposed to be managing. So we're not managing it properly. So the system doesn't work properly because the manager's not managing it. So I think everything that's going to be successful when it comes to business has to be run by some kind of system.
Yeah.
Sometimes very complex, sometimes very simple.
You don't have to be the bad guy. When you need to speak to someone about something, you can blame the system.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. You know what? If you're not sick, you need to seek leave. Sorry, it's the system of the business. I need to honor it. Sorry, that what you tolerate will dominate you. And I said, sorry, our business system just says, if you don't bring a sick note, you're not going to get paid, or whatever your policy is. But have those things to govern your business and to manage your people, so that you don't always have to be the bad guy. You can lead as well. You know? So even in the beginning, you're going to manage, but you're going to shift from manager to leader. And then you need to move to becoming a leader, to lead people. You know, and they're going to manage people. There is a shift there, and it's like and even Elijah, you know, when the army came against, he imagined, oh, I see this army, and he prayed. Elijah prayed, said, God, open up his eyes so that he can see. You see, friends, we must be aware of the physical things that happens around, but you must also see what God sees. Have the vision.
Yeah.
What's God's plan? Where is he moving? Where is he breathing on? What is he doing? You need to also sit with the God. I want to always say to you, friends, you cannot have a business if you don't have a prayer chair. You need to have a chair, and you need to have an empty chair in front of you where God sits in. And you need to go and sit in front of God, and you need to speak to him and say, God, I'm at a crossroad. I need to make a big decision. Father, help me through this. Small business guys don't pray. We don't pray. Friends, put a chair like wearing an armband. Have a prayer chair in your office. That's a prayer chair, so it can remind you to go and sit there at the feet of the Father.
Yeah.
So that you, because David, they said of David, he's a man who knows how to go in and how to go out.
Yeah,
so good.
You see, when Moses wanted to appoint someone, he prayed and said, God, you can go read. God, give me a man that knows how to go in and how to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon, when God called him, Solomon said, Father, I want to be a man like my father, a man that knows how to go in and how to go out. Friends, you need to know how to go in and go out on the strength of the Lord and not your own strength, because you're going to default to your own strength, but you must lean into God's strength.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you need a prayer chain where you can go in and come out in the strength of the Lord and face the things in this world in the strength of the Lord. I'm telling you, because otherwise you're going to carry that burdens. Because God said, my yoke is light. Why my yoke? So my yoke was single. I was pulling it. But God's yoke is for two. He wants to pull with you.
Mm.
You know, the yoke is not the load. It pulls the load.
Yeah.
But God said, my yoke is light. Put my yoke upon you, because it's built for two.
Yeah.
And be in step with me. Don't go this way, that way, that the yoke is so that you can go in step with the one next to you.
Yeah.
You know, go in step with God.
Yeah.
Have a prayer chair in your office where you can sit and pray in the morning, whatever. Go there 15 minutes earlier or whenever, if you've got a coffee break or what. Sit there, friends. Get that rhythm.
And it's interesting because the yoke, I mean, most yokes, like, you know, don't put anything on me, you're controlling me.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well, the yoke of Jesus, he's got you part of you, both pulling.
Yeah.
Something's on you.
Yes.
I don't like that. You don't like that feeling. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But you'll eventually realize this is how God operates. But you understand, like, whatever weight you're carrying, a little bit of rubbing here and there, it's okay, because you're in the kingdom, and he never said it's going to be easy.
That
yoke is not. You don't have God's yoke in it, but it's just so good.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Yeah. I said, take my cross. Take up your cross. I mean, yeah. Jesus took the cross, but the cross wasn't for him, it was for us.
Yeah.
Take up your cross. The cross is not always for you. Yeah, in some ways it's for you, but it's for other people as well.
Yeah.
I need to sacrifice. I need to make the call. I need to budget. I need to steward.
Yeah.
Of course, it's about the King and His kingdom. It's for others. I need to take up that cross.
Yeah.
And I need to implement those things in my life. Of course, it's about others.
Yeah.
So it's always about others.
It's interesting that the kingdom, if you think about Paul, Paul speaks to Timothy, you know, what Jesus, what you've seen and heard of me, you teach your faithful men who are qualified to teach others. So you talk about making disciples.
Yes.
But yet it works. I mean, remember Dudley Daniel back in the day, he used to say he was in business, he was in the church after many, many years of leading the church. He said, if I went back into business, I'd become a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
I'll apply all the principles I knew in business and just in business. The same principles. Raising the next generation, doing all those things. Because it's the same thing. Although church is not a business, you've got to have the same mindset of the same way of thinking. Systems and raising up the next generation and trusting God and being faithful with the little and not being an, you know, someone once said, a businessman, he should have been here today. And he said to me, hey, because I'm a nice guy, Craig, because someone is diddling him with money. And I said, what is nice? Jesus, God's not a nice guy.
Yeah.
There's no word nice in the Bible.
That's very good.
He loves, but his love is very discerning.
Yes.
And he says he looked at the rich young ruler. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, that's not loving, bro.
Yeah.
So go sell your stuff, give it to the poor. That's very unloving. Not according to God.
Yeah.
You know? And just one last thing I want to say. David, he was a great leader. He says, with skillful hands and a shepherd's heart, he led them. So that skillful hands is this stuff. It's the practical growing. I mean, he grew in his ability to with his hands. Mm. And that's what we teach to the musos, the guys coming on board. Skillful hands on your instrument, but it's also about the heart. The heart of a shepherd, the heart of God, the heart of obedience, the heart of submission, the heart of understanding kingdom things. Huh?
No, and maybe I can just end with this thing. I mean, when my boys took over the business, I told them, listen, it's not about the money, it's about the people.
Mm.
If you can make that shift and you can start think differently, you're going to make more money.
Very good.
Because if it's about money, you're going to treat the customer for his money. But if it's about the person, you're going to start to serve the person and money will flow naturally. Because if people feel valued and acknowledged, and in your business, money will flow naturally.
Yeah.
You see, so when the customer walks, you acknowledge the customer. You have got energy when you with that customer. You treat that customer well. You're on it. Yeah. And when you give that customer good service, you focus on service, and money will flow naturally.
Very good.
Amazing.
Very good. But you don't bend over for the guy. You're not. In other words, it's not. You don't get walked over.
Yes, that's right.
You know, like al dente, what someone said, like pasta. You know, he's firm but yet hard. You know, it's like God. You know, he's firm at the right time, but he's also very soft at the right time.
That's right. Yeah. There's this one business I walked in, and they had this thing against the wall. It says the customer is always right in his head.
I also saw a nice thing on that. That's like, the customer is not always right, but he deserves to be treated right.
Yeah. Yes, that's good.
A lot of the time, I don't realize that.
Yeah. That's very good. That's a really good one. Yeah. So I mean, and then in our game, we build in a lot of things like this: the 5 steps of success, the 6 steps of customer complaints, and those things, which is amazing. You know, just small things that we just reminded fresh. It's amazing.
So I think they just ask maybe if there's any questions, and then I think we'll just wrap it up. So does anybody have anything that they'd like to ask? Logo?
I do have a question.
Please.
You answered Dion's question earlier, and you were talking about how you, when you was expanding, like wanting to know how, when to stop expanding in a sense or something like that, and then you were saying, you talked about, so you're going to expand and then you're eventually going to get into like the enemy's territory. You said something like that.
Yes.
Could you talk more about how we would know that we are there?
So you're definitely going to feel it.
Yeah, you'll know.
You can see all the business guys are laughing. Can you see? I mean, you're going to know you're out of space because inside, You know, it's like you're under stress, you're under pressure, you know you're not in a good space, you can't get to everything, you're going to know you're not in a good space. And then you know, when that happens, you need to start to go back and structure a business. But that's actually not the good time to do it. You must do it in advance. Yeah. Because you can read that this thing is growing. Mm. And when it's growing, it's going to outgrow myself. So I need to gear myself for growth. You see, but if you don't gear yourself for growth, you're not going to grow. Because now if you employ an electrician, he needs a buck, he needs tools, it's a salary, he needs a guy to help him. And now my business can't afford it, so I can't do it, but we'll do it next year. We'll just grow. You can't grow because you don't have the capacity. You must gear for that.
Yeah.
You see, but now guys don't gear for it and they step out of spacious places.
The first thing is you lose your joy.
You lose your joy, my friend. Yeah. You see, the life gives you moments of happiness, but joy is in the Lord.
Yeah.
Same. Marriage, your spouse gives you moments of happiness, but joy is in the Lord. If you find your joy in your spouse, it's going to disappoint you. And it's going to bring a wedge.
Yeah,
and if you don't look after that, it's going to create many other things and end up with hardened hearts.
Yeah.
Very true. Right. One more.
Anyway.
Very good.
One more question. Anyone?
Or comment, or something you learned, or something, anything, yeah.
I think just something that I heard quite some time back about when you talk about budgets and that, is we need to learn to live on percentages, not amounts.
Yeah.
Because that way, no matter how much the amount changes, the percentage will never change.
Yeah.
So if we can get it right to live on percentages, then when the more income...